Archer Radio, episode 107.
You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. I am recording this on Tuesday evening, October 11th, 2005. This will be posted on Thursday. By the title of this show, you can tell that I'm still in the chest pains mode. Before, when I told you that I thought it was, I was chalking it up to stress the last time I had these chest pains. Well, last night, that being Monday evening, I began to feel the same chest pains again. But I was able to sleep this time, and that was not a problem. But then during the day today, I felt the chest pains off and on. And when I got home from work, I was, probably creating a lot more stress about it than I should have. So I decided to call the doctor. And, of course, I belong to Kaiser Permanente, so you can go to them anytime. I talked to the advice nurse, and she said, she asked me a million questions, where the pain is, all this kind of stuff. And then she suggested that I come in right away. So I was thinking, of course, instantly when she says, can you come right now? I was thinking, oh my God, am I actually having a heart attack? Or, what is this? So I said, sure, I'm only a couple minutes away. And she goes, the doctor recommends that you not drive yourself. And I was like, oh my God. So I was getting really scared. But I said, I don't have anybody driving by myself. I have, I live alone. So, she said, well, the doctor recommends you not do any kind of exertion or exert any, create any exertion before you get here. So I just got in the car and drove over there. I'm only like 10, 15 minutes away. So I go in there and they take me right away. It was actually surprising that the urgent care or the, after hours care was pretty much empty. There was only like 3 people there. But they took me first, so I guess chest pains have a priority over these other people. So I go in there, and the nurse practitioner takes my temperature, and it was 99.2, so it was a little bit, just a little bit elevated. And then he takes my blood pressure, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, my blood pressure is going to be so high because I'm so nervous, and I can feel my heart racing, and I just know something's wrong. Well, he takes my blood pressure, and it was 142 over 90, and he said it is slightly elevated, but not in a range that needs to be, he was chalking up to my nervousness, and it wasn't something that he thinks, that the nurse practitioner thought was, dangerously high or anything. So, and I actually thought that was a little high, 142 over 90, because usually I'm right around 120 over 80. I mean, I'm really pretty close to that. And then he put this little meter thing on my fingertip to take my pulse, and my pulse was 90 beats per minute. I was like, oh my God, my heart is racing. So again, though, he said, you're nervous, you think something's going on, so of course your heart rate's going to be raised like that. So then he said, now I need to do an electrocardiogram. So he took me into another room, and I took off my shirt, and he taped all these little like electrical leads, he called them, all over my chest, and 2 on my legs and 1 on each arm. And I mean, it took him longer to put little stickers on than it did to actually do the electrocardiogram, because it only ran for like a minute and a half, and then out pops electrocardiogram. And I said, now what is it that you're looking for? And he explained to me that he wasn't a doctor, that he wasn't trained enough to know what he was looking for on the actual electrocardiogram, but he said the doctor who's going to see you will know. And I was like, oh, okay. So he unhooked everything, and then he left and said the doctor will see you soon. Well, of course, that's when you have to end up waiting, because she didn't come for a good 10 minutes. I sat in there, and of course, the longer you sit in the little room waiting for the doctor to show up, the more nervous I was getting, and the more, stressed I was feeling about it, because I'm like, well, what the hell is this? Obviously, if it was, if they thought I was having a heart attack, they would have been doing something before now. So I kind of reconcile that I was not, you know, in cardiac arrest or anything. So anyway, the doctor comes in and she asks me again a million questions. I answer all her questions and tell her how the pain feels, where I'm feeling it. Is it worse when I breathe in? Is it, you know, does it hurt when I lift my arm? I mean, she asked me all the things that obviously were leading to symptoms of a heart attack or some kind of cardiac distress, she said. So after asking me all these millions of questions, she listened to my heartbeat and had me breathe in and out. And then she was feeling around my chest and around my stomach and all these things. And then she finally tells me what she thinks. And she says, well, according to your electrocardiogram, you are not having a cardiac episode. She says, your electrocardiogram looks normal. She goes, there's no stress to your heartbeat. There's nothing like that. Your electrocardiogram is normal. There's nothing wrong with your heart. And then she proceeds to explain to me that the way I'm describing the pain, it's not even angina. So Tigger out in L.A., who left the message after the last time I had the chest pains and suggested I have it checked for angina, she said that she doesn't think it's angina because I have none of the other symptoms involved with angina, meaning nausea, sweating, vomiting, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, and any of that stuff. I was just having pain in my chest. I wasn't having any of those other symptoms. And then she proceeds to explain to me that the way I was describing the pains and where I think the pains are, they are not inside the chest wall, meaning that they're on top of the rib cage where all the muscles lay. And they're not in, you know, she took a while to explain this, and it kind of makes sense to me now that beneath the rib cage, I guess, is where all the veins are, of course, because that's where they go to the heart. And I'm not feeling them deep enough in my chest for it to be cardiovascular. So she thinks that it is some kind of muscular thing that I have done something over the last couple of weeks to stress the muscles in the left side of my chest, because I don't feel it anywhere else, just in the left side of my chest. And she doesn't think it's cardiovascular, and I don't have any of the symptoms except for this pain. And my electrocardiogram is normal. She said, yes, you do have a little bit elevated blood pressure and pulse rate, but she said that, again, you are nervous about what this is going on, and, you know, that certainly accounts for the rise in heart rate and blood pressure. But I explained to her that my mother has high blood pressure. I have two brothers who have high blood pressure. And she goes, well, even if this was your normal blood pressure, this is still not high enough to be, you know, having to be concerned about your blood pressure. So basically she said, you're not having a cardiac event, and it doesn't look as even though that you've had one. So I was very relieved to hear all that. So it has nothing to do with my heart. However, she did give me a referral for a cardiovascular stress test just to see, you know, if there's anything else and to have a follow-up exam with a cardiologist, because you never know, you know. She said, you know, you can never be so sure. So I have to call tomorrow and make an appointment for a cardiovascular stress test. So then I'm asking her, well, you know, what could this possibly be, and how do I deal with it, and what should I be concerned about? And she said, well, it's very hard to say because it is in the muscular level of your chest, and that could be a matter of days or you know, it's like anything healing. It could take time. She said, you could pull a muscle or strain a muscle or whatever doing something as simply as lifting a laundry basket. So she said, I can't really tell you how this pain, you know, came about, nor can I tell you how long it will last. I just don't know, which, you know, makes sense because it doesn't, all of the indicators are away from the cardiovascular, so she's not really sure what it is, but she tends to think it's in the muscular region of the chest, and, you know, that's a totally different thing. It's not an event to be concerned about for your heart. And then, of course, she tells me, you do have a couple of the signs of, you know, elevated risk of cardiovascular disease because you Number one, I smoke. Number two, I don't do any major exercise. I did tell her I walked, and she said, that's very good. And that's probably why the last, you know, like, because I had a physical last year while my cholesterol was only 173, but that I did have, because she was looking at my chart, I did have slightly elevated triglycerides, so, but nothing in the, you know, scary area. So she said, you know, her recommendations were eat a low-fat diet, try to stop smoking, and begin to do a little bit more exercise. So, of course, none of those I like, but I guess if I want to continue to live, I should really, you know, get on the ball and really try to quit smoking, I guess, and eat a low-fat diet. See, now I do have a problem with the low-fat diet because I don't like anything. My eating habits are so bad. And I don't like fruits and vegetables, so I there's nothing I can eat that's low fat. Well, yes, I can. I mean, the stuff that I do eat, I can stop eating that and just eat things that are low fat. But, you know, I think that's going to be the hardest thing is changing my diet. But I can definitely exercise some more and work on the quitting smoking. And then I asked her about what are the things that I can do, excuse me, to help with those triglycerides or, you know, even if it is vascular in terms of a blockage or building up of plaque or something like that. What can I do, you know, to help change that? And she suggested, you know, drinking red, not specifically red wine, but things that are red in nature, like grape juice and red wine and things like that. So I told her that I just recently, in the last couple of months, been drinking more red wine, and she said, well, but how much? And I said, well, no, not to excess, you know, a couple of glasses a week. This I'm not, and not every day. So actually nothing Monday through Friday. It's only on the weekends. And she said, well, then that's fine. That should be fine. And then she said to eat almonds. And she said, the biggest thing, of course, is exercise. If you exercise more, that creates the good cholesterol, which breaks down that bad cholesterol and therefore helps to clear your arteries. If they happen to be building up plaque. So that's what I need to work on. And of course I will. So it's just, you know, I was just a little scared when I got home from work today, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to call because it's been a week since, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I can't remember exactly when the last one was, but, well, it was last Sunday, I think. So I said, I can't, you know, go on anymore. And this was the second time that I felt these pains. And I said, if I feel it again, I'm going to go. So I was glad I went. So I was glad I heard from everything, the lady. And I do have a follow-up with a cardiologist. So even though I had a fear of what it was, it's really, well, according to the doctor now, she says that it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with your heart, that it's on the muscular level of the chest, so, which is good. So I don't know, I just, you know, I worry so much. And I kind of, at the same time, when I was making the phone call to make the appointment, I'm thinking to myself, oh God, here I go again. I'm going to look like a hypochondriac going in there, and watch, there'll be nothing wrong with me. And sure enough, I go in there and they go through the whole procedure of the echocardiogram or electrocardiogram. I don't know which one it is. I think it's electrocardiogram. Anyway, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, there's really nothing wrong with you. There's, you know, you're probably feeling some stress. She, you know, that's one thing she didn't bring up, though, was that it could be stress or a panic attack of some kind. But I know I wasn't having any kind of panic attack because I'm not doing anything to be, you know, panicky about or whatever. But I will say that I have been under a little bit of stress, but I try to live a stress-free life, so I don't know what that was all about. And I don't know what the pains are about, but even after the doctor, I'm still feeling it in my chest. And she said, "Well, if it gets worse, or if they become sharp pains, see, because right now they're kind of like this dull, like a dull ache." And she said, "If they become sharp, or if you're feeling them, you know, deep in your chest or in the heart area, of course, call 911." But I haven't felt anything like that, so I'm just glad that it has nothing to do with the heart. So the all of you who left me comments about making sure I have it checked and everything, I did have it checked, and it's not as according to the doctor who I saw, it is not cardiovascular. It's something else. And I just have to figure out what it is and how to alleviate the pain. And, of course, she just suggested taking Tylenol or ibuprofen or Motrin or something like that to deal with the pain. And, oh, yeah, and she prescribed an aspirin a day. Well, I already take an aspirin a day, so, you know. All right, so that's the whole chest pain return or whatever. And I'm feeling much better about it now, even though I still feel this little dull pain in my left side. You know, I'll deal with it. I'm just glad I know that it's not the heart, and I won't, you know, like, stress about it trying to go to sleep tonight. So, moving on to other things, there were two clips that I want to play that I'm going to end the show with. I don't know if anybody else has been watching this series, Weeds, on Showtime with Mary Louise Parker, who I absolutely love. She is like a housewife, not even a housewife. Her husband died, and she is trying to keep everything afloat by selling pot. She's a dealer. And anyway, so the whole show is all about that. And I actually am really liking it, but I understand that tonight is the last show for the season. But on the show I just watched, there's this little section where Mary Louise Parker's, I think it's her brother-in-law, or maybe it's her brother, I haven't quite figured that out, gets a letter that he's being, because he years ago signed up for the Army Reserves, and now he's being called up to go to Iraq, and this little part is how he reacts to his accountant friend or city commissioner or something, city council or something, and how he talks to the city leader. I forget the actor is Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live, but I forget what his name is on the show. But he ends up being like a blind Bush supporter. So anyway, I liked the clip, so I'm going to play that clip. And then after that clip, I'm going to play a clip for that I got from the news tonight about the penguins in the New York City Zoo and how the, was it New York City Zoo? Well, one of the zoos. You'll hear it on the clip. But how the Christian conservatives are using the mating rituals of the penguins to justify monogamy. And this one lady even goes far enough to say how she's trying to connect it to creationism. I mean, intelligent design. Yeah, intelligent design. And it was freaky to listen to these people talk about this stuff. But then Jake Tapper, who's the reporter doing the show, brings up the point about Roy and Silo, the gay couple at the zoo, who were together for like 6 years and raised a chick like any straight couple would. And he poses that question, but of course it doesn't get answered. But the poor thing, the sad part about it is that Roy has left Silo for this mating season for a woman. So poor Roy, I mean poor Silo, he doesn't have his partner anymore, his gay male partner. Anyway, so listen to these two clips, one from Weeds and one from the news, and I just like to play them. I just thought they were cool. And then that'll be the end of the show. So, and of course, coming up is the weekend, and I won't be posting a show on Friday because, of course, I'll be recording audio and probably video with the boyfriend over the weekend. We are going to three different wineries on Saturday, I think. And I'm hoping that the boyfriend will get his car. He didn't get it again yesterday, Monday, because the truck was broken down at the dealership in Baltimore where it was coming from. So they didn't have one of those big trailer trucks that has cars on it. I don't know. So he's hoping to get it later this week, and I really hope he does, because we're going to be doing a lot of driving this weekend, and I'd rather use his great gas mileage car than mine. But, of course, I'll actually do the driving, like I was saying before. So we will work on recording some audio and some video over the weekend, and you can look for that next week. So, and I know that Blake left a comment on the website about the music trivia that the boyfriend threw out there yesterday, or let's see, on Tuesday's show. And Blake, I don't know what the answer is, because I forgot to ask the boyfriend what the answer is. So We will have to let you know what your answer is later. But it sounds like you already know the answer. I mean, for sure. So I'm sure you're right. But the boyfriend will confirm that the next time I talk with him. So that's the show. So enjoy these two clips, and I'll be back next week. So until next time, boys and girls, bye.
They found me, man.
Bummer. Who found you?
The fucking army. That's who. Years ago in Colorado, I was trying to impress a lady friend, and there was Jägermeister, and I signed up for the Army Reserves. Then I forgot about it. Now I get a letter saying I got to report for duty or face military prison. How did they find me? I mean, I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid, Andy.
Well, you got busted for possession, and now you're in the system, Andy.
Well, you gotta help me, man. You're on the city council, right? Tell them that my city needs me.
Need you for what?
I don't know, for planting trees, starting a youth program for troubled teenage girls.
I could help you if you got a ticket for littering in the park, but that's all the juice I got.
Fine, then I'm a conscientious objector.
Nuh-uh. No, you signed for the reserves on your own free, drunk, horny accord. You are fucked.
Oh, well, I am not going to Iraq to fight in some bullshit war about oil money.
Bullshit war? What about 9/11? Didn't Iran hide the terrorists?
We're fighting a war in Iraq, Doug, and neither country had anything to do with blowing up the World Trade Center.
Well, they both have sand.
Bush invaded a sovereign nation in defiance of the UN. He's a war criminal, and now I'm supposed to be one of his disposable thugs with a fucking target on my head in the middle of the desert, waiting to be blown up by a car bomb rigged by a 12-year-old who loved Friends and Metallica until one of our missiles blew up his house? I don't think so.
They had weapons of mass destruction.
There were no weapons of mass destruction!
No? Well, whatever. Look, I got a lot of shit to do.
You name me one thing you have to do that's more important than the corporate takeover of our democracy.
I gotta take a shit.
You gotta help me, man.
I will. I will. I'm gonna put one of those yellow ribbon stickers on my car. For you.
How can you be so blindly pro-Bush?
I like his wife, Laura. Used to buy weed from her at SMU. Good shit. Good shit.
Finally tonight, what do penguins and conservatives have in common? Well, it depends on whom you ask, of course, and it may never even have occurred to you to ask. But after the hugely successful documentary, March of the Penguins, some people in the country are asking. Here's ABC's Jake Tapper.
The arduous mating ritual featured in March of the Penguins now has these Antarctic birds waddling right into the culture wars.
And every year, they embark on a nearly impossible journey to find a mate.
Conservative activists are blessing the journey as a celebration of traditional family values.
The last time I remember something like that was, of course, The Passion of the Christ, a very different movie. And this is sort of The Passion of the Penguins.
Conservatives have praised the penguins for being an ideal example of monogamy and held up the unborn chicks as an argument against abortion.
Of a family's journey to bring life into the world.
Some even argue the film presents a case against evolution and for intelligent design.
What you see is an equilibrium, this incredible picture of order and complexity.
But nature and penguins don't always fit cleanly into political agendas. Penguins Roy and Silo, both males, are a same-sex penguin couple here at the Central Park Zoo.
Roy and Silo adopted, hatched, and raised a chick together, becoming Tango's foster penguins. So in response to conservatives, the New York Times liberal editorial board asked, if emperor penguins are sending us a message about heterosexual marriage, then what are Roy and Silo doing?
To me, in my 17 years of dealing with penguins, I hadn't seen any different behavior between them and any other pair raising a chick.
Advocates of same-sex marriage extol a children's book about this same-sex penguin family. And Tango makes three. Except After 6 years, Silo has ditched Roy. This mating season, he's with a female, Scrappy. When you apply politics to nature, arguments can become pretty slippery. Jake Tapper, ABC News, New York.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.